This is Talking Property on 882 6PR. The voice of Perth.
And thank you, Philippa, for the news at 9 o'clock. And Philippa will be back with another bulletin of 882 6PR News at 10, just ahead of Saturday morning at the football. Good morning, Rob Drew. What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to turn the volume down a little bit.
Turn it down. I can turn it down here. Just have to ask. Harvey, please turn the volume down. is that better?
But I need to ask nicely, of course. Yeah. Thank you.
And I just want to comment that there is absolutely no need for you to have got dressed up the way you have today.
I'm in Easter gear.
How many days' growth is that caterpillar just under your nose there and above your top lip?
Well, I did have a pretty easy week. It was, yes. So I took a bit of time off during the week because it's quietening down towards Easter. So I'm hoping after Easter we get a whole lot of new stock in with motivated sellers prepared to meet the market and we have a bit of action out there.
Well, there's some good news actually.
Always live in hope.
Yeah, there's some good news on that front that made it to the West Australian. I can't remember which day during the week, but it was there. But anyway, more about that a little bit later on, because a man who's got his finger right on the pulse of what's happening at Rewa is Deputy President Damien Collins. Hello, Damien.
Morning, Harvey. How are you going?
Yeah, good, matey. And Damien is, of course, with Momentum Wealth, severely upstaged last week by one of his workers who won an award and you didn't.
No, Kent did a great job. He was that's 2 years running. He's won Buyer's Agent of the Year. Yeah. And, it was great. I was over there for the awards, and it was fantastic to see WA pick up 5 out of the 16 nationally. Fantastic. And previous years, we've only won none or one or two. So it was a great testament to, it doesn't matter how hard the market is, it was an awards for excellence and what good quality real estate practices we have in WA.
We do. And Kent, of course, took out that award, and he explained a bit last week. And you have, since you've been on the program a few times, since your elevation to this lofty position of one heartbeat away from the presidency, of the fact that you are a buyer's agent. Mm. And just for those that have just arrived in town and are having difficulty with the coming to terms with this program, which you'll find, quite normal. What is a buyer's agent?
So traditionally in real estate, of course, when people have sold, nearly everyone uses a selling agent. So that's the person who lists your property, takes people through. Now, their obligation, of course, is to work for the seller. So their main focus is getting that property sold. And they certainly help buyers and obviously need to facilitate the transaction. But end of the day, they're legally obligated to work for the seller. So we set up a buyer's agency about 9.5 years ago. And so the difference is that we don't have any properties for sale. We go out into the market and a client comes to see us. And we go through a mandate, what they're looking for, and sometimes they don't know. They're actually asking us for the advice, particularly around investment. And we go through what the budget is, what they can afford, what they're looking for from the property, and then we go into the market and we try and buy them the best possible property. Obviously, at a good price, we're trying to get the best price we can, but at the end of the day, if they're buying for investment, the long-term capital growth is more important than just getting that extra $5,000 or $10,000 off. And so we work with selling agents. Our office bought one from Rob a couple of weeks ago, and
Well together, didn't we?
Yeah. Look, 95% of the time it does, 98% of the time.
It's a bit of argy-bargy because, Ray was working hard for his client, I was working hard for mine, but that's the whole point. We came together. But in the good old days, shall we say, good old bad old days in real estate agents used to run buyers around in their car. Mm. And it's a strange thing, but I don't think I've had a buyer in my car for about 10 years.
What you meet them on location?
Seems quite bizarre, but because you meet on location, of course, and
because all the TV programs have them all sort of sitting in the same car and arriving at the same destination.
Unless it's the 80s or 90s, but
no.
So well,
don't you watch those shows on television?
Oh no,
Selling Houses Australia and a few other ones.
No,
I like them. They're good, and they all turn up, with the agent, and who then tries to convince them that they need to spend a bit of money on the house before they sell. All those shows are good. I thought they'd be required viewing for you.
Oh, no, I do.
Damien, I look. My wife watches them, so when they're on, I
don't have much choice.
I'm a bit glazed over by the end of the day. I've got to say it, that's the sales agent working with that seller. But no. Traditionally, running buyers around was done a long time ago. These days, with people who've got information, the selling agents...
They only do it on TV, then.
Yeah, just for selling for show
on
TV.
The truth get in the way of a good story.
So the selling agent quite rightly focused on selling that property. And look, buyers can get a lot of information now on the internet. I mean, you can
Internet's
Google Maps.
The big thing, which is big change in real estate.
And they turn up on the
95% of the market with three websites. Number one website being Rewa.com,
of course.
And once they look on that, they can see the market, whereas it's different from 10, 15 years ago. So there is a real niche in the market for time poor people who are like, okay, look, I don't have time to run around and do it. I really need some good advice. And, they're not they're going to get help from agents to sell their own properties, but not in the market as a whole. And that's where Momentum Wealth and buyer's agents really fit in.
Great idea.
Look, it's still a relatively a niche service. There's about six or so exclusive buyer's agents in WA, but over east in Sydney and Melbourne, there's 50, 60, 70 firms, so it's a lot bigger.
And a lot of those work with auctions too, don't they?
Yeah, to help people buy at auctions. Particularly in Melbourne, they get a lot of the buyer's agents to represent them at auctions. So I think it's, look, it'll never be all the transactions, but I think that we could get to 10 or 15% for those. Mm. It's a niche for those time-poor people who want someone to represent them and haven't got the time to look themselves.
Good-o. All right, 922-118-82. And folks, once again, thanks to New Generation Homes, we have got $100 cash to give away to one of our callers today. You must call to qualify for the draw. NewGenerationHomes.com.au is the place to go for more information about New Generation Homes, who are, of course, a division of Summit Homes, who make this program possible. So we do thank them for that. 922-118-82. If you've got any questions about any facet of real estate, of course, obviously Damien's here to answer specifics about buyer's agents and, you know, what they charge and all those questions that I'm sure you're interested in asking. If you want to send an email, just pop it into harvey@6br.com.au, or if you want to send a text, 19999677 is the number to call. Now, we mentioned that there is a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Don't think it's an express train, but sales figures, it's cut off. Part of my media release that you've given me is cut off, I think.
Yes, I think the first
he
part
cut the bad news out. He cut the bad parts out.
So there's actually, it's not much there, is it?
No, it's not
four
really.
Words. No, no, it's...
We are doing good.
Yeah. It's okay, do not panic.
Yeah, yeah.
No, look, we've seen a little bit of a lift
call
up.
Call Hayden Groves for confirmation.
With the turnover, which is good.
Yeah.
Mind you, coming off a low base, so it's not surprising.
It has been. Look, late last year, as you would remember, Rob, we got up to 16,500 listings, and we thought, we're already in a oversupply territory, and I think about 2011 we got to 18,000. That was a pretty tough time. But we've seen it come back under 16. It's actually just hovered around that 15,000. So we're oversupplied, but not significantly.
Mm.
And again, some areas are more patchy, some are more oversupplied than others. So look, if we can hold here and the volume's starting to pick up a bit, look, as Harvey said, the light end of the tunnel's not an express train coming through the tunnel, but at least it's moving, perhaps.
Had the correction, and this is what happens, doesn't it? Yeah. You have a correction. It takes a bit of time for sellers to meet the market. I mean, whether we like it or not, reality is the buyers dictate the market. If they're buying, they're buying. If they're not, they're not. I certainly see, and talking to a lot of agents out there, there's heaps of buyers out there. People want to transact. They just want to transact that little bit less than where we were in 2013. So it's been a bit of an adjustment for the sellers in that. So I think we'll see a more stable market now for the next 12 months.
Yep. Jan's got a text. Happy Easter.
Ah,
and that's
thank
all.
You,
no, there's a little bit more. I have a 3-bedroom townhouse near Beattie Park Pool. I want to sell after July. This is an easy question for you both. What month should I sell? Thanks, Jan. August?
Yeah, well, perhaps 1st of July would be. But I guess what she's getting at, isn't she? I mean, that the point with capital gains tax, if that's the concern about putting it into the next year, is it's the date of sale, not the date of settlement.
Absolutely. I'm sure that's why Jan is looking to sell, and it is the contract date, as Rob said, after 1st of July. Look, from my point of view, we're buying all the time. And a lot of people think, I've got to sell it in spring or certain times of year. Look, maybe, you know, Christmas, there's that, maybe you wouldn't bring it on the 20th of December. But other than that, I just think when you're ready to sell, put onto the market. I wouldn't be trying to time it. Because don't forget, everyone thinks when it does come to spring, all these sellers come out of the woodwork. Well, you get, you know, the buyers don't jump significantly. Yes, they do a little bit, but I would just think when I've sold every property, I just put on the market when I'm ready.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever feels good. Jan, go and see a reputable agent, of course, and discuss it with them.
Right.
They'll be able to guide you through. Okay, Jeff of Shoalwaters on the blower. G'day, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning. It's more of a question and an observation, if you like. I live in the Rockingham end, sort of Shoalwater end of Rockingham, if you like, near Penguin Island, Point Perrin, and Lake Richmond around there. And I'm always really curious because we love this area and it's stunning. You know, you can walk along there in the evenings, there's fantastic sunsets and views and beaches, and often, you know, we'll be down at a cafe near Penguin Island or somewhere like that, and people from Perth, we start talking to them and say, we haven't been down there for years. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I'm amazed at the price of the property, you know, and kind of jokingly I say to people, it's the same ocean that goes past Connors Lane. And
it's true. It's true. Yes.
Yeah,
and it's significantly really cheaper. I think you can buy about six properties.
There's some really good stuff happening on the Rockingham foreshore and all around there. And I'm just curious why it is a lot cheaper than really, in my eyes, it should be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, now we're starting to get into the intricacies of real estate. It's done my head in for the last 25 years, trying to compare properties in different areas. I am amazed by prices through western suburbs, but it's back to simple economics, I think. It's supply and demand, and there's that golden triangle there in the western suburbs, and there's a limited supply of property and strong demand. Now, it's been hit a bit because it went up too much in 2007, but it's still expensive real estate.
It is. And Jeff, look, that is a beautiful spot down there. But as Rob said, it's supply and demand. And I guess the one of the reasons the western suburbs is so possible, it is closer to the city. It's, you know, 10, 12 kilometres. It's obviously the good schools in the area. A lot of people will get in there and pay a lot of money to get them. They want their kids in those schools. So, look, doesn't mean, obviously, where you are down there. It's a beautiful part of the world. And I think I got to travel overseas at Christmas time, and you just don't realise until you go overseas again how beautiful a city we live in. So, as Perth grows and expands over the next 20, 30 years, we're meant to get to 3.5 million people. We're about 2 million now. Those properties closer to the water and those beautiful locations will continue to be in demand, but it's just that western suburbs will always be, you know, our most expensive part of Perth for sure.
Mm. Yep. They're not creating any more beaches.
Nice. I'd spin it the other way and say what great value it is down there.
That's right. We've dealt with it's fine. Thank you, Gemma. I'm glad you're listening to the program. We've dealt with Jan. We've answered her question. We reckon 1st of July is the time to sell. And we're going to be talking to Mark of Huntingdale after the break.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au. Start your day the right way with Steve Mills and Basil Zemplis.
There's times when we as a community have to step up to the plate, and we can't rely on politicians, we can't rely on police officers, but we can rely on each other, and that is the message of the Easter Road Toll. It's our time to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing.
Slow down, for goodness sake, as Millsy said, just take it easy. Don't get aggro with each other.
Breakfast with Steve Mills and Basil Zemplis. Back Tuesday from 5 a.m. on 882 6PR. The voice of Perth.
City Toyota.
Experience a new level of service at City Toyota. Get a 1 hour express service while you wait, or ask about their loan cars and courtesy buses. Can't make it to them? City Toyota will come to you with a convenient mobile service. Book now on 1300 City Toyota. citytoyota.net.au, Northbridge and Nedlands.
City Toyota. We're your number one.
DL12195.
When you've got osteoarthritis, it's not always easy to get up for this or this. But it is worth getting up and going to Chemist Warehouse for Healthy Care Turmeric. It may help reduce joint inflammation and the pain associated with mild osteoarthritis, getting you back to the way you used to get up. Healthy Care Turmeric 3,100 caps is only $17.99. Always read the label. Use only as directed. If symptoms persist, see a healthcare professional. Chemist Warehouse. Lowest prices guaranteed.
Big news from 50 Up Club. Thanks to the massive buying power of the over 50s, Woolworths Insurance is offering two exclusive new offers. One, save up to 35% when you purchase a combined home and contents insurance policy online. And two, if their car insurance quote is not cheaper than your comparable comprehensive renewal notice, they will beat it. Plus, give you a $50 Woolworths gift card. To access these and other exclusive insurance offers, head to 50upclub.com. It's free to join. There's no obligation. Terms and conditions apply. Woolworths Insurance is an authorised representative of the insurer Hollard. Offers available until April 28. Any general advice provided does not take into account your individual objectives, financial situation or needs. Consider the PDS at 50upclub.com to decide if the product is right for you.
For a limited time, site works are free when you build with Aveling Homes. You'll save up to 10 grand. For free site works on our massive range of designs, talk to Aveling Homes today. Conditions apply. BR12788.
The Smith family asks you to think about the thousands of disadvantaged Aussie kids who will go without at school this year. Please sponsor a less fortunate child. To find out more, visit thesmithfamily.com.au.
Perth's Travel Savers, brought to you by Flight Centre.
cheap, cheap deal to Bali. Fly return from $190. To book, visit flightcentre.com.au.
Whilst us Aussies are known for great things like throwing a shrimp on a barbie, we're also known for our ingenuity. How clever can you get with a sea container? Sea Containers Australia can get you started, be it a mini cube, a 10-foot or regular 20 and 40-foot. General purpose, dangerous goods, side or top opening and more. Sea Containers Australia sell new and used or rent to buy from just $20 per week. Delivered anywhere in Australia. Think outside the box. Visit seacontainersaustralia.com.au.
Until 10, this is Talking Property.
And Rob Drewitt here, of course, and Damien Collins from Momentum Wealth. Damien is, of course, Deputy Prez of Rewa. Mark of Huntingdale, as promised, is on the line. G'day, Mark.
Hi, how are you going? Love Good. The show, guys.
Thank you.
Just a quick question. I've got a rental property and the fence has come down.
Right.
And the neighbour wants to get his friends to do it or someone he knows and not produce an invoice. And it's going to be more than what my excess is for the insurance. I just wondered what my rights are as far as insisting that obviously pay the lesser amount through the excess of the insurance and not be out of pocket more than what it's actually going to cost me through the insurance.
Mark, obviously, when a fence falls down, obviously both neighbours have to contribute equally generally to that fence repair. Look, I'd be a bit for you as obviously there's some cash deals going on there. Sounds like just want to be caught, but also from your from your own tax purposes, if you don't have a receipt for any repairs, correct, maintenance, or even even
well,
if it's a capital
insurance company
item,
will insist.
Yeah,
on
you're going to have to have it for insurance. Yeah. So, the price would want to be pretty good to go down that path. So, I would be insisting. Yeah, from your point of view, his mate might do it for his cash, but if for your purposes, I think you'd be off to get a receipt for, at least for your half, and see at least you've got something for the insurance company and also tax as well.
What happens if he doesn't have insurance or doesn't want to actually do that? What are my rights as far as just going ahead with my insurance and doing it and trying to claim the half of it?
I'd be talking to your insurance company about it, and I think they'll be wanting to be done legitimately.
Yeah.
I mean, what's to say that his mate, if he's, might be Seamus fence repairs, and it'll fall down next week. So,
But if he's not insured, wouldn't he be liable to for half the cost of the fence?
Yeah, definitely. He's liable for half
just
the cost.
Just that he can't get it back off an insurance company.
Yeah, he just can't make the claim. And I think, Mark, your issue is there needs to be a fence here. There's the Dividing Fences Act is sometimes a very sensitive subject. And but if you have a read of that, there is a requirement and to have a sufficient fence. And look, people have gone ahead and put fences up and just done it on their own and then try to claim back. It all gets very messy. Yeah. So your best bet is to work with your neighbour because otherwise a dispute can go on and on and on, but I'd be saying I want to do it by the book and get a receipt and make my claim on insurance, at least for your half.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers.
Good on you. Thank you very much indeed for that. Very quiet this morning on the phones. Understandable. People are away. Just getting back to the point of opening or not opening on the Easter weekend, the one thing we've said this over the years, at least if you are showing people properties this weekend, they are dinkum, they're not tire kickers, so you know that you've got genuine interest.
Well, it's a bit like the lottery, isn't it? You're not going to win unless you're in it. So I guess, yes. But generally you'll find it'll be a lot quieter, and I just take it as an opportunity to give my sellers a bit of a rest as well.
Look, as Harvey said, you might get lucky and get a buyer. The I guess a lot of agents do take it as a long weekend as well, and I think it's one of those things that you would chat with your selling agent about the value and benefits, because if you're a seller, particularly if it's your home, you've got to get it already prepared, and a lot of people spend a lot of time on that, and not much fun to spend 3 hours preparing your house.
Nobody comes through.
So I think it's
somewhat disheartening,
a case by case basis. But look, you'll find a lot of properties won't be open this weekend.
Just on the subject of home opens, I know this is almost as thorny as the dividing fences issue. More blood has been spilt, by the way, on issues over dividing fences than when the Anglo-Saxons and the Jutes invaded Britain collectively. Now, the other thing is...
Same thing, it's all about borders.
That's right, exactly right. very good, actually. As far as a tenant is concerned, what are the rights of tenants when the owner wants to sell the property or put it up for sale and home opens are a factor.
Mm. Look, they don't have to do home opens. There's nothing in the Residential Tenancies Act which obliges a tenant to have a home open, but there is an obligation to assist the owner in being able to sell the property in the sense of not being difficult about it, shall we say.
Mm.
Generally speaking, a magistrate sees it as being a reasonable amount of notice and a reasonable number of inspections at a reasonable time.
Mm. And what does reasonable mean?
Yeah, so reasonable would be not Sunday morning, would be normal business hours.
It'd be the frequency of it too, wouldn't it?
And frequency, that's right. So it's a bit of negotiation. But generally, I think generally, Dame, it's about 48 hours notice to come through. But I say to tenants, look, why don't we have a home open? Because at least we can get everybody through in the one time, half an hour home open, it's done. Or do we have three inspections during the week? So, look, a lot of tenants don't realise that it is their obligation not to obstruct the owner. The owner is allowed to sell the property and allowed to show people through. It's a pain for everybody, we know that. But, of course, the quicker it's sold, the quicker you're out of there.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, from a tenant's point of view, as Rob said, you can either have one home open a week. Yes, it's a bit of a pain. But other than that, if you do private inspections, you might have three or four during the week, and it's a lot of messing around. And I think most tenants come to use common sense and go, look, I'll have it once a week. I guess on the owner's side, I'm always tell our clients, if you've got a long-term lease in place, I'd be very hesitant to sell, just because if I'm a buyer comes through the buyer comes through and they want to live in that, the tenant has the lease on the property, and that passes it. You can't just terminate that. So the new owner's got to pick that up. And if they're a buyer who wants to be an owner occupier, well, and they can't get in for 9 months, it's going to put a lot of people off. So you don't want to be selling generally until you're towards the end of your lease.
Good advice, yeah. Anne of Murdoch's on the line. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thank you.
We're selling a property, and our estate agent, when we had an offer on the property, she provided to the buyer a checklist saying that every tap will work, every sprinkler will work, that she wants to test every PowerPoint with a hairdryer. What obligation does she have to provide that? Like we said, going forward, we don't want her to provide that because she's acting for us, not the buyer.
Look, it's purely negotiation, Anne, and an agent is obliged to work for their seller, so it's a matter of following those instructions. It is normal, though, to have on a contract, a sales contract, a working order clause, and there's a standard clause that REWA uses, and that just obliges the owner to make sure that if there is something that isn't working, it's notified at the time of negotiating the sale, so they can take that into account, and that things will be in working order at the time of settlement. So it's not unusual that sometimes when you're selling a very old, dilapidated house that's been vacant for months and months and months, you'll just say, look, sold as is, no seller's representations or warranties whatsoever. Generally speaking, though, if you're selling a house that you're living in, there is an expectation, you would think, that the buyer's coming in, that everything will be in working condition, there'll be hot water, there will be, you know, and depending on the age of the property as well. So you've got to take all those factors into account, but in the offer, you would need to have that clause in there and sign that you're happy with that as a seller.
Yeah, and coming from the buyer side, we always put that clause in.
You insist on it, don't you?
And that everything is in good working order. And the reason is, I guess, I'm coming into the property working for our buyers, and someone's living in there. We want to assume that everything's working, and unless you tell us otherwise. At that time, people do sometimes come back and say, well, this is not working, that's not working. We put it in the contract, and then we're happy, at least we know. What a lot of people are, I guess, just assume, a lot of buyers, perhaps, you know, not represented by a buyer's agent who don't really know it, there's a lot of disputes over that. They expect it, they just think it's going to be, even if it's not in the contract. Mm. And that does cause a lot of disputes in real estate settlement. Mm. Well, the thing's not working, but if you didn't put it in the contract, there's no obligation that is to be working. So I guess, Anne, it's your selling agent's working for you, but a lot of agents do try and work with buyers to make, and I guess the thing is, if you don't want to warrant that, then you maybe just take that, you don't have to put it in the contract. And you might want to, if there is particular things not working you don't want to fix, I think your best bet is to put that up
better
front.
Better off disclosing
that. Disclosing that up front, at least everyone knows.
Damien, how do you, how far do you go in assessing that everything is in working order? Do you go as far as...
bring your hairdryer and check every power output.
Anne, who's gone, by the way, off the board. Do you actually say, look, we want to check every PowerPoint and here's the hairdryer to do it?
Well, we send an electrical inspector in most of our properties, and they check all the electrical components. But yeah, people do go around with a hairdryer. And now, look, you're assuming if someone's living there, that pretty much there might be one or two that don't work, but most things are going to be work. So that's one of the. If it's vacant, obviously we're a bit more concerned about that. But if someone's living there, you'll find most things are actually working. And but yeah, people do go around with hairdryers and all that sort of stuff and plug it in.
Well, I guess the bottom line is that the buyer is buying the property in the state and condition at the time of contracting the sale.
Mm.
So then if something's not working, I guess the question is, well, that really should be disclosed to the buyer, I feel, because they've got an expectation that, particularly when people are living in the property, yeah, the hot water system works and the, you know, the lights out in the back work and so on. And, you know, can the seller then say, oh, look, it wasn't working at the time that you contracted to buy the property and it wasn't visible or known to them?
Mm.
So there's a bit of a balance there, I think, that and that's where the selling agent needs to sit down with their seller and just say, hey, look, we're at the pointy end of the negotiations now. You know, we've got a working order clause here. If there's anything that doesn't work, you don't want to fix prior to settlement, notify the buyer now, then we won't have a dispute at the time we do the final inspection.
I think in these matters, it's the old days of buyer beware has kind of gone down the past. I think your best bet is to disclose because people get to the end, and if it's not working, they expected it. Even if it's not contractual, gets to be very messy for everyone involved. So full and frank disclosure is the best option in all cases.
Excellent. All right, 922 118 82. If you'd like to have a chat to us, you could finish up with $100 cash today. That'd buy a few Easter eggs for tomorrow. Newgenerationhomes.com.au is the place to go. And New Generation Homes are a division of Summit Homes, and they're the people making $100 available to one of our callers today.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
It's back, everyone's favourite tipping competition. But this time, the West Australian Channel 7 and 6 PR are taking the game to a whole new level.
Thanks to Tab Touch this season, not only can you tip, you can now play Draft Fantasy or Pick 7, a new easy-to-play fantasy game. There's more than $170,000 in prizes to be won, including a Mazda BT50.
It's not too late. Sign up now at thegame.com.au, your new home for AFL footy tipping and fantasy. Brought to you by Tab Touch, Mazda, Channel 7, the West Australian, and 882 6PR.
Have you moved that sand yet?
Verily I say to thee, each grain has been escorted from point A to point B with an alacrity to challenge the very laws of physics. 'Twas an operation both Herculean and mercurial. Ha ha! With this skid steer, this magnificent machine, I can move a mountain by nightfall to Everest!
Great machines from Macintosh & Son turn a job into a passion. Visit macintoshandson.com.au and do more.
For the best price on reliable earthmoving equipment, call Brooks Hire, 1300 Brooks. And don't forget, hire any of the equipment from one of their branches Australia-wide for your chance to win a Harley Davidson. Brookshire.com.au.
What better way to celebrate Easter than with delicious Coles Black Tiger Prawns, responsibly farmed in Queensland?
Coles Australian cooked Black Tiger Prawns, just $24 a kilo.
Family, friends and delicious Black Tiger Prawns, together for Easter at Coles.
Something big is happening at Crown. It's Mega March. And you could win a $20,000 trip of a lifetime, whether it's sightseeing around Europe or an African safari. There are four great escapes to be won. Dine or play to get an entry. Then be at the draw at 6 p.m. every Sunday until March 27 to see if you're a winner. Make Crown your destination this March. Conditions apply. Visit crownperth.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Relive the best of the Eagles in an amazing two-part tribute concert, celebrating 40 years since the release of Hotel California. Hear this iconic album performed live in its entirety. Then in the second part of the show, rock out to Eagles classics with all the greatest hits. Journey through the Eagles' staggering catalogue of music. Astor Theatre, Friday, May 6th, and Mandurah Performing Arts Centre, Friday, May 13th. For details and tickets, see thebestoftheeagles.com.au.
I'm thinking of getting that hearing checkup.
Well, you know you need to go to Lyons, right?
Why's that?
Because Lyons Hearing Clinics are not-for-profit and the staff are fully qualified and everyone who works there is completely commission-free.
Oh.
That's important because it means they put your needs first and only recommend solutions that are best for you.
Glad you're on the ball.
To book your checkup at your local Lions Hearing Clinic, call 1-800-0-LIONS.
This year, you're planning a month in Europe. Perhaps next year, you'll be lucky to afford a weekend down the coast. Unfortunately, if your investments are at the mercy of the share market, when it takes a dive, so can your travel plans. But a Challenger annuity can help protect you from market crashes by paying you a guaranteed monthly income. Google Challenger Annuities today. Before investing, consider their suitability in the PDS issued by Challenger Life Company Limited at challenger.com.au.
Got a real estate question? Call now, 922-11882.
Yes, good advice, 922-11882. We've got a couple of calls coming through on the board, which is good. And with only 23 minutes of the program left, don't leave it too late, because we just sort of say this every week and we get sick of hearing our own voice saying it, but it's a fact, and we cannot deal with your questions if you leave them too late. And you often find, Damien, as a listener and often on the program, that some of the questions towards the end of the show require a very detailed answer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we've only got 12 seconds to answer them.
That's right, yes. So. Well, now I'll tell you what we might do whilst we're waiting. I know that you've got something coming up that you wanted to talk about. I thought I might give you a bit of a theme.
We're from Tigerland, a fighting fury. We're from Tigerland. In any weather, you will see us with a grin, risking head and skin. If we're behind, then never mind, we'll fight.
So, we're playing that because there's something happening at Claremont Oval or near it.
I didn't have David Airy.
That was a good segue, Harvey. I was thinking of Richmond and all my poor, sad friends who support Richmond, who are consistently ninth and have made the finals once in about 20 years and lost in straight sets all whenever they're in there. So, but the good news is that if you haven't been out Claremont Way, you would know. But if you have been out Claremont Way, you see all the roadworks going around Claremont Oval. There's a big redevelopment happening, and I think it's the apartment development, and it's going to be similar, I guess, to if you've been to the old AFL Park in Melbourne, where they knocked this part of the stadium down and kept a bit for heritage, but put housing and apartments around, and that was quite successful. And we've seen here in Claremont that the pre-sales have done particularly well. They've sold more than 50%, and while there's a lot of talk in the market about apartment oversupply, I still think long term there's going to be some big demand for apartments as the demographics change and Perth gets bigger and more crowded. But it'll take some time to get there. But it's good to see this one. And the thing is, it's got to be the right product, which was for a lot of downsizers, people in that area, a bit older, wanting to scale down from the big house, still stay in the Claremont area near the shops. Great spot, like
train
beds, station,
three bedrooms.
A mix there, Rob. They were a mix of product. And interesting, one of our group of clients have done a development up in Kareen. And very interesting. Nice. We thought the two bedders and one bedders would go. No, it's all the three bedders, the most expensive stuff.
Downsizers. So
that's exactly
it. It's hard to get that downsizing really working. It's sort of sometimes it's more of a concept than.
Yeah.
want the room.
They do. And that was interesting. They all bought, they wanted to downsize, but they didn't want to go to a tiny place that someone maybe in their 20s would go to. They wanted a bigger apartment. So look, it just goes to show there is good demand.
Price point?
The price points in Claremont, I think, around about... they're not cheap. I think they're sort of from 700s and upwards into the mid-millions.
Oh,
so
what you pay to get in the western suburbs, but new apartment.
But yeah, so the right product. We talk about this apartment oversupply, but the right product at the right price in the right demographics is still selling out there.
You asked for it, Damien.
Here we finished ninth again. The Richmond Tigers finished ninth again.
Wow, haven't heard that for a long time.
You'll hear it again. Well, you may hear it this year. They had a win, of course, on Thursday night. It was an interesting game, to say the least. But Saturday morning at the footy, the boys will talk about that in detail. Rod of Embleton. G'day, Rod.
Hi, good morning. I'm just after someone's opinion on the merits or otherwise of finishing a two-bedroom villa for rent.
Rod, I would say generally as a rule, no. And the reason is that most tenants have their own furniture. The only area in a couple of properties that we do have fully furnished and equipped is where it's targeted to the executive market who's coming into town from interstate or overseas, where it's maybe a shorter time period or they are happy to live in that for a year or two to get going. I've also got, we've got some in our rent roll where they're targeted to students, again, when they're coming from overseas, don't want to buy all the stuff, happy to pay for the rental of that. But generally, if you're a suburban Perth person, they already have their own stuff, so we'd recommend generally it doesn't make sense, unless you're targeting a very particular market, doesn't make sense to fully furnish those properties.
Rod, where's the property?
The property is in Dianella. It's a two-bedroom.
Yep.
It's the middle one of a triplex. The situation is that a friend of ours has cleared out a over 55's villa, and we've got the whole lot.
All the furniture,
The wash machine, the fridge and everything, it's virtually brand new.
Gumtree. I reckon.
Possibly. I
have a big garage sale.
I was wondering, what about furnishing the place and advertising for country people who want to come to Perth just sort of move in? Maybe someone visiting for a week or someone visiting.
It's a lot of work, that transient type, a lot of work. And look, the market for fully furnished has changed dramatically. Yeah. Our area, we're in sort of Scarborough area. We've got a big rent roll and we had quite a few, and we still do have quite a few fully furnished places. And we were getting at least $100 premium. When the market was really strong, $150 a week premium. Yeah. Now, I would say at best, we'd be getting a $50 premium. Mm. And you think it's not worth it, because what will happen is in 3 months' time your washing machine will break down and you go, oh, no, got to replace that. Better to have it unfurnished, longer-term tenant and a broader market at the moment.
Okay,
definitely.
Good on you, Rod. Thanks for your call. Now to Currumbine and Helen. Hi, Helen.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'm just thinking of downsizing at the moment, and I'm just looking at the merits of buying tax-wise, what you'd have to pay for buying an established home or buying a house on land one, and what kind of taxes you might have to pay.
Helen, are you a first home buyer, or are you already?
No.
No, you've already put. Well, there's no. I guess the only tax savings that you, we're talking about stamp duty or transfer duty here, is the when you buy a block of land and build on it. Obviously, you're only paying the duty on the land component, not the build. Mm-hmm. So when you take that land in your own name in the title and build separately, but look, you know, you're talking about you might save maybe $10,000 in transfer duty on a $200,000 build. Ultimately, I wouldn't be basing my decision on that sort of money. It's money, but there's a lot of other things that come into play. So, and if it's your home, there's no income tax issues there. So, look, I wouldn't. You might have a small saving by building, but if that's not the right property in the right location, it kind of defeats the purpose. So, I'd be focusing on what's most important to you in terms of where you're living. You said you want to downsize, so could be your next home for quite a long period of time. That'd be more important than saving a few dollars on transfer duty.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure. Yeah, okay.
No worries.
Okay. You're more than welcome, Helen. Thanks for calling the show. And you're in the draw now for the $100 thanks to newgenerationhomes.com.au. Doug of Willoughby. Hi, Doug.
How are we going, fellas?
We're going well, thank you.
Good, Doug. How can we help you?
I've got a query. You may be able to help me with it.
It's the plan here. Yep.
Right. My daughter and I took a lease on a property in Willoughby, and at the time we'd taken the lease, I mean, we've renewed it at a lower rate now, but the lease was $510 a week.
Yep.
Now, when we took that lease, I wasn't aware, or I didn't read through the lease agreement real well.
It's a bit naughty, yeah, but anyway.
But anyway, the full responsibility of water, is that a usual... Is that a usual thing?
Full responsibility of water consumption, absolutely.
It is.
Water rates are paid by the owner of the property, the landlord, but water consumption in almost every case is paid by the tenant, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, so don't feel bad about that. No problem at all. It's quite normal.
Thanks very much, fellas. You have a good day.
Yeah, you too, Doug. Take it easy. We'll talk to Mary of Warnborough after the break.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
Tony L Fresh Fruit and Veg Market is your one-stop shop for all your Easter feasting, with a huge range of fresh local fruit and vegetables, delicious cold meats, antipastos and local and imported cheeses, plus Easter eggs, chocolates, freshly baked hot cross buns and Italian Columba Easter cakes. Tony L Fresh Fruit and Veg, open 8 to 6 in the lead up to Easter, close Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Tony Ales, wishing you a very happy Easter.
Get that new car feeling back with Toyota Access at Kalamunda Toyota. Visit kalamundatoyota.com.au/access today. Kalamunda Toyota. DL2201.
Right now at Masters, they are rolling out their massive Easter Paint Fest with 20% off all paint and decking oil. That's right, 20% off all interior and exterior paint, and they will tint to match any colour absolutely free. So don't miss the massive Masters Easter Paint Fest, 20% off all paint and decking oil. That is sure to brighten up your Easter. So be quick. Offer ends Thursday, March 31, only at Masters. And there are Masters stores right throughout Perth, including Bayswater, Bibra Lake, Lansdale, Ellenbrook, Joondalup, Forestdale, Brighton, Baldy, and Mandurah.
It's Harvey Norman. Get ready to save this Easter at Harvey Norman with a massive 5 years interest-free store wide. Zero interest, no deposit with monthly payments until March 2021. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $1,500. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Big on range, big on brands, even bigger on savings. It's Harvey Norman. For extra deals and Easter trading hours, search Harvey Norman online. 5 years interest-free store wide this Easter at Harvey Norman.
In the Weekend West.
Behind the scenes, as the Eagles prepare to turn 30 this year, meet the unsung hero who's been around the club almost from the start. Plus, get the latest on the Dockers and the Eagles as they gear up for round one. 7 days takes a peek at Ice Age Live, a mammoth adventure, which will be in Perth within weeks.
Also in the Weekend West,
Travel brings you a four-page guide to the wonders of the Pilbara, and West Wheels discovers that the last Falcon is the best one ever.
Only in the Weekend West.
If you're self-employed like me and find you don't fit the box when it comes to getting a home loan, give Liberty a call so they can help you just like they helped me. Visit liberty.com.au or call 13 11 33. Liberty Financial, approved applicants only.
Hey there, you perfect person. It's time you were treated right. When you need a ride, you don't want no meter-spinning BO-smelling bomb or a random car that's riskier than a sushi bar. You need a chauffeur. Chauffeur will treat you right. I'm talking low-cost, fixed upfront fares and agreed routes, live tracking and monitoring, even the choice of a female driver. First 1,000 to download the free app, get $15 off their first ride. Chauffeur.com.au. That's S-H-O-F-E-R.
This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
If you would like to talk to the boys, then I would call within the next 30 seconds or a minute, or you will miss out. It's coming up to 11 to 10. 9221882 is the number. Mary of Warnborough's got through. G'day, Mary.
Yes, hello. Hello to you both. I heard back further, my son, he rents a house, but I heard this chap say he's renting an old house and that he was responsible for his share of the fence. I thought they only had to insure what's inside the house if you're renting.
That'd be the owner, not the tenant.
Yeah, I think, Mary, you might have misheard. He was the owner of the property, he wasn't the tenant. The tenant is definitely not responsible for any structural maintenance or repairs or anything like that. That is the owner's responsibility. As a tenant, you're provided a property, everything in decent working order. So, you're not responsible. The tenant's not responsible for any of those sorts of things that go on. That's up to the landlord, and obviously if they're insured or not insured, I guess that's their individual issue, but they need to take care of that. The tenant's obviously responsible for their own goods, their own furniture and so forth. They probably should insure that, but no, anything else in the house and everything else is the owner's responsibility.
Oh, I misheard then. Yeah. Thank you.
No worries.
You're more than welcome. Thank you very much indeed. Coming up after the 10 o'clock news, it's Saturday morning at the football with Carl Langdon, Kim Hagdorn and Peter Bell, and it's underway, mate, Thursday night. Interesting game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah,
what did you make of it? Richmond were a pretty ordinary game, wasn't
it? Yeah, pretty ordinary game. I suggested last night on Sports Today that we need to introduce the Levi Casbolt into the game. Now, the Levi Casbolt is this. You know how he takes a really nice mark?
Can't kick.
He can't kick. So what needs to happen is that one of his teammates...
Designated kicker.
So one of his teammates, what his teammate has to do is punch him in the nose. Now, the reason why you have to punch him in the nose is because when you bleed, you immediately have to go off the field.
Someone else takes
Now, you can't get reported for punching your own teammate. So what I've suggested last night is that every time Levi takes a mark, bang.
Snot him. Yeah.
Snot him straight in the nose, make him go off, then someone else has to take his kick.
Who can kick?
What a tactic. If he could have kicked straight, Carlton would have won
the game. Shut up, he's in my fantasy team. I've got a few marks out of him. I've got 7 marks out of him.
Yeah, but if you can't, how can you be a key forward in the game if you're going to butcher it like that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, that Wietering's good.
He's not bad, yeah. No, he looks like he's a player. We'll get to see a few others today. Stevie J up at GWS, Gary Ablett back at the Gold Coast, Ryan Crowley at Essendon, Patrick Dangerfield on Monday against your boys. So there's a bit of movement. Lance Franklin, of course, back at Sydney as well. Treloar down at Collingwood. So we'll talk about all of that. There's plenty of footy on today, tomorrow, on Monday. There's plenty of waffle action last night. Subi too good for East Perth. And East Perth now 0-2.
We really thought East Perth had bounced back after a humiliating defeat last week. But are Subi that good again this year?
Well, they got close. They were at least more competitive, East Perth. They got to within a kick, I think, at half time. But in the end, Subiaco. Pretty good team, Subi. You know, they rolled Peel last week, who had 18 dockers. Mm. And they're going along pretty well, Subi, being the defending premiers. So we'll see what they can do.
No changes to the two sides for the early match today, by the way. Carl, I think we're taking the second half of that, aren't we?
We are, yeah, from 12. We'll swing across to that match. And, yeah, Aussies beating Pakistan last night. We'll talk a bit of cricket as well.
That'll be good. Okay. So, Saturday morning at the cricket. That'll be happening after 10 o'clock, Saturday morning at the football. We're out of calls, boys. What else is happening in the wonderful world of real estate?
Well, yes. What's happening, Damien? You've been working in your office this morning?
No, it was dead silent when I went in there this morning. We're just up the road here in East Perth. Look, Carvey, just a couple of ones I thought. We often get asked, should I buy near a high-tension power line or what is if I'm on a busy road? Mm. All those sorts of things. It'd be interesting to hear Rob's thoughts. Obviously, Rob's, as a buyer, I get to very be choosy when we're buying, but obviously when you're selling, you're doing your best for that seller, and sometimes they may have not the most positive surroundings around that. What do you think, Rob? If you're on a busy road, how much of a discount do you think that might be?
It's an interesting thing because some people just will not buy, period.
Yeah.
So you know you buy when you're selling a house on busy road because they walk in and say, we used to live on Beaufort Street and I really like this place. You know they're used to it and they're happy with it. Yeah. But there are certain buyers who certainly won't buy. Power lines, well, I don't know. I guess it's all about the serenity, isn't it?
How's the serenity? As Darryl Kerrigan famously said.
The serenity of it all, you know. Look, it's and then how much do you discount, you know, for something like that? Mm. A lot of people are on a budget. You're an affordable, and you can only afford so much, and it gives you an opportunity to get into an area at a very reasonable price, but certainly discounted.
Yeah. You make a really interesting point in regard to high tension. Are people put off by the sheer visual impact of them? They're ugly. I mean, they're serious. But also there's a health...
And look, I think the...
What's the uncertainty? Whenever there's uncertainty, it affects the price.
And that's it. Look, we won't buy on the high-tension power lines because of the perceived health risk, whether it's there.
Yes.
But busy roads we do on certain circumstances.
If the price is right.
Yep.
We've got time for one really quick call. Annette of Nangara, you're our last caller. Annette, fire away.
Okay, how are you going today?
Fabulous.
Good, really quick.
Good
really
girl.
Quick.
Fire away.
Do you know anything about the Nangara proposal for special rural to change the zoning there?
No.
No, Ines, I don't, but if you can brief us in 20 seconds or less, we might be able to help you.
Well, what I do know is it's been going on for quite some time, hasn't it?
It has, and I just wondered if you knew any more than we do.
No.
Where are you living?
Nangara.
Yeah. I know that it's been a long, long discussion, and I think we had a call about this last year, and I think the conclusion was it's going to continue for some time. This rezoning, it just takes forever.
It does. Look, Joondalup finished their rezoning. That was about 3.5, 4 years in the making. The wheels of government, and I guess they've got to get everybody's feedback and environmental assessments and all those things, they turn very slowly, Annette. Your best bet is probably to call your local
Shire
up there. I think it might be Wanneroo. and have a chat to them and get some talk to the planning officers there.
Have They'll you spoken to them in it?
Give you a better idea.
Oh, we do get updates for the East Wanneroo proposal and that. And I just wondered, sometimes do you real estate guys and developers know more than a lot of other people?
Well, look, you might want to talk to, as well as your local council there, you might want to talk to some local agents in the area. They'd probably be on top of it. Obviously, they're working in that space, so they might have a better handle on it, as well as the and what impact that might have on pricing. It might have a positive effect depending on what they're doing. So talk to your local REWA agent and also your local council.
Okay,
no
Annette.
Worries.
Good on you. Thank you for your call. Glad we could squeeze you in. Eight people, thank you. Well, we had quite a few calls in the finish, which is good, yep. And given the public holiday and long weekend, et cetera, et cetera. So we put them all in a hat, and out came Rod of Embleton. Good question about developing units and one thing and another, I think it was, from memory.
They have furnished or unfurnished.
That's right, that's correct. So, Rod, well done. You've won $100 thanks to New Generation Homes, a division of Summit Homes. How do we get in touch with Momentum Wealth, Damien?
You can call, but not today because no one's there. But if you call on Tuesday on 9221 6399, or visit our website www.momentumwealth.com.au.
Goodo. And Rob, you're having a quiet-ish day, but if people
quiet,
want to...
Quiet, but I'm still around. If anybody wants to buy a house,
look
at the website.
Your website, exactly.
Happy to sell it to you.
Druitt Shed First National, right?
He won't be in his suit. He'll be looking very casual, but I'm sure Rob will be
absolutely
out there.
We're always on call in real estate. That's what we need to be.
Growth. But anyway, that's another question. Thank you, Gemma, for producing our program this morning. Stand by now, folks, for the news, and then Saturday morning at the football.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.